This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 305 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, where I don't know if it's as chilly as it is here, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. Are you freezing down there?
Well, I don't really feel the cold, so I can't actually. Technically, it's been snowing around a fair bit.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that means it's cold.
Yeah.
My wife complained yesterday when she was putting the heater on and had four layers of clothing, so I was in the shorts and T-shirt.
What? Seriously?
I don't really feel cold.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it could be. It might be cold. It's potentially chilly.
Yeah. I mean, I complain about the cold, but there are people who live in far colder climes than do I. So when we're in Borneo, we were having conversation with these a family from the Netherlands, and I was saying something about, oh, not looking forward to going back to Sydney. Yeah, oh, it's bitterly cold. And he was like, what? Is it 10 degrees? He just laughed at me. Yeah, I suppose it's all relative.
All relative, yeah, absolutely.
So how's your week been?
You know, I've been busier than a one-armed man in a cow milking contest.
Excellent. Doing what?
Well, I've been organising my New York events, my Light and Vision weekend in New York in May.
Your Get Out of Podcasting workshop.
My Get Out of Podcasting workshop, yeah. I'm away for 3 weeks on that trip. And next year's going to be a bit tough, actually, because I'm away for 5, 8, at least 10 weeks.
Yeah, right.
At least, if not longer. That's only the things I've got planned so far. So,
yeah. Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I've been a bit flat out organising that, and I'm taking the family. Right. So I've been pricing up other stuff to do, and we're going to stop in LA on the way back and do Disneyland.
Yep.
So for the four of us to do Disneyland is $1,200 for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just nuts.
Yeah.
And then I booked my Vietnam tickets just yesterday for our Vietnam trip in a couple of weeks. And we're going 4 days. Going 4 days early to have 4 days of just shooting to the two of us.
Right. So is that a flight through Singapore or is it direct?
No, it's direct. Vietnam Airlines direct to Ho Chi Minh.
Nice.
So so it's good. So we're going to do 4 days of shooting in three different cities.
Wow.
You know, three different flights.
Yeah. Right.
Just for you know, a bit of funsies.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
But yeah, that's kind of it. I loaded up a 6-meter-square mini skip of crud out of my garage this week.
Wow. Bit of a hoarder, are we?
Well, which you'd think would be it's fairly substantial, except I've asked them to drop another 4-meter-square one on the way back to pick up this one.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Well, which is in the kitchen. A lot of it's kitchen. There's a lot of stuff in the renovations.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Stuff as well. So that's my excuse. But there's a fair bunch of crap in there, too. So I've been physical labor.
Did four of your five adjustable spanners go into that mini skip?
Oh, if I could find them. Yes, that's been my week. And yourself, how's your week been?
Just work, basically.
Excellent.
Got the Meetup 29 happening this Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Which is a very low-key event. It's just,
that's the studio one, isn't it?
Yeah. Set up some backdrops, got a model coming up. Just play with some lighting for the day. Nothing terribly structured about it. We're just going to be, let everyone have a play and, get comfortable with using studio lighting.
Now, here's the big question, of course.
Mm.
Do you have a model lined up?
Yes, I do.
And do you?
Well,
and is she going
to
show up?
I'm led to believe that I do.
And is she actually going to show up?
Well, she says her mum is driving her up, so I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I can't come today because mum forgot she had to dip at the chicken roast on. Mum had to go down the shop, so I can't come.
If it ends up being something like that, yeah. I will give everybody their money back and then we'll each just model.
Well, you can always photograph stuff.
Well, I figure people that want to play with studio lighting probably want to get used to using studio lighting with a model, not so much doing still lifes. So I figure, hey, if it comes to the crunch, we can all just take turns of putting the camera down and being the model for 5 minutes.
You don't mind being a model. You're a handsome man.
Thank you, Matt. And we can cycle through, So, yeah, either way, it'll be fun.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Cool. Well, look forward to seeing the photos.
Yeah.
Need a good laugh.
Speaking of which,
Brian Horton from England.
Thank you.
He's a lovely fella.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenally, sicklingly talented photographer and friend of ours.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he does it all amazing.
People we hate list.
Oh, absolutely. he's firmly leading the charge.
Right.
He does all that amazing art nudes with incredible props and stuff.
Oh, yes, know? I remember that.
Yeah, yes. I refuse to go look at his site anymore because it just depresses me.
Yeah.
I've got enough depression in my life. I don't need that.
Right.
What did Brian say?
So Brian posted on the Facebook wall, "Hi guys, Glyn's review of Bruce's holiday pics was great podcasting. Shame.
You just listen to much podcast." Yeah.
"Shame 2 or is it 3 weeks on, I still can't see the images. The Shutters Inc. site has mini images that won't enlarge. Bruce's site, well, I'm lost there too. 10 minutes in, I've given up. Shame, as I'd have been keen to see the before and afters." So as I said to Brian, there is still this ongoing issue with this image plugin. I don't know why it's doing what it's doing on the ShuttersIncPodcast.com website. What happens is you click on one of the thumbnails, everything grays out like it's meant to have loaded up the image, but the image doesn't appear. And the reason the image doesn't appear is because you actually have to scroll down like 10 pages and then suddenly you find that it's superimposed over the top of the site the way it's meant to, but 10 pages from the top.
10 pages from where it should be.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's doing it. So I'm still trying to sort it out. So Brian, if you if you have the patience, matey, go and check them out. They are certainly displaying in their enlarged form. They're just not where they should be at the top of the page. It's really quite bizarre. So anyway, but it was nice that he was intrigued enough that he wanted to go and look at them. So
you blogged up to day 19 of your trip?
Yeah, I blogged every day.
That's pretty decent. Oh, there you are. You were talking to this couple from Netherlands about the weather.
There you go.
Sydney. They laughed at you, apparently. Guess things, all things are relative. Yeah. Even use the same damn line. No originality there at all. God.
I guess not. No, so what I did was I knew that I thought I mentioned this the first week back, was that I wrote each day's blog as I went.
Yeah.
Knowing that I wouldn't publish it until I got home and had a chance to actually process the images, in Lightroom the way I wanted to. So that's what I did.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
A man among men.
Okay, then. I came across something on DIYphotography.net this week. In fact, almost everything I've got this week came from DIYphotography.net.
Really?
This was an actual DIY project, which I know, Glyn, would be way too much effort for you to engage in. But essentially what this is a, like a GorillaPod.
Yeah.
But it's just a single strip. So it doesn't have
monopod.
Yeah, basically, like a gorilla monopod. And it's just using a piece of copper pipe inside a piece of vinyl tubing with a couple of brass connectors at either end with some 3/16th, bolt thread in each end so that you can screw that 3/16th thread into either your camera or your speed lights or whatever it is you want to mount. And then you just wrap the copper pipe with the vinyl tubing around it, around whatever it is you want to, swing your light from.
That's pretty clever, doesn't it?
It is very clever. So,
I mean, I'm sure there's a weight limit.
Obviously, that would just be determined by the thickness of the copper rod you decide to buy. Yeah, you could buy, a slightly thicker rod if you wanted to, and that would give you
it
more...
It wouldn't be as flexible, it wouldn't bend. And
it would be harder to bend, yeah, but it would give you more rigidity to carry greater weight.
Very clever idea.
But, if all you want to do is string a speed light up in a tree.
Yeah, perfect.
That's a great little... That's a Saturday afternoon gig, I think. So,
you live the life, Bruce.
Yeah. The next one I came across was an article about Google and MIT getting together. Was this MIT Where? MIT Where? MIT. So I guess that must be the Massachusetts Michigan. Institute of Technology.
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, is it?
I don't know. I think
Anyway, what they've done is come up with an algorithm
yes.
which enables the separation of the view out the window as one image and the crap that's inside the room that's reflecting off the glass you're trying to shoot through being separated out to a separate image. So basically when you're trying to shoot out of a, you know, you're staying in a high-rise hotel and you're trying to take a photo of the city from up in your high-rise, and when you try and shoot out through the glass, you get all this reflection of the stuff that's inside your hotel room. This algorithm manages to separate the two into a recovered background and a recovered reflection.
It's quite remarkable, isn't it?
It is amazing. And
there's only like a 15-minute video or something showing you how it does it.
It's about 6 minutes. And I, to be honest, I didn't watch all of it. I watched about the first 2 minutes and just went, this is amazing. What?
Here's the thing, though. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
Well, I guess the point is...
To take photos through glass, that reflection, right?
Yeah.
So who cares? Why do we need the other photo of the reflection?
No, I don't.
If the whole point's to eliminate the reflection, why do we need to have another photo of what's being reflected? Why do we have to use our memory space up?
I guess you've got the option of whether or not you want to keep the recovered reflection. It was just
I guess you could do it. You could do a scene and a selfie at the same time.
There you go.
So, but that's quite amazing technology.
It is pretty awesome.
It's quite amazing.
It is pretty awesome. And basically, it requires the taking of multiple images at, you know, just moderately different angles so that the algorithm can determine the angle of the reflected image versus the angle of the actual view of what's outside the window. And using those differences, it uses edge detection to work out what's the reflection and what's the actual view out the window. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty trippy. If anyone gets through the entire 6 minutes, keep it to yourself. We don't need to know.
even Bruce, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, 2 minutes was enough for me.
That's saying something.
And this week, Fuji announced the first infrared mirrorless camera.
Woohoo! That's what we've been waiting for. I've been here with bated breath waiting for the... Because I didn't want another one of those bloody mirrored cameras with infrared. I wanted a mirrorless camera to me. That was going to make it special.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the mirrorless is all the rage.
Yeah.
It is certainly the flavour of the month in the camera body world.
It's the flavour of the month this year.
Yeah. And this is the first infrared mirrorless. So okay, fair enough.
I actually do enjoy shooting in infrared.
Do you? I've never done one.
I do. It's cool.
What is the benefit?
Everything looks different.
Right. You can stand on your head and shoot.
So your light skies can look dark, your dark trees can look light. So you get this very different viewpoint of the world, and all of wacky sort of colours and stuff. So it's kind of, it can give some wonderful landscapes. It's like everything's been snowed on.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, woohoo, it's the world's first mirrorless. No, let's not get excited about that. Let's say, probably more importantly, some of the first major camera manufacturers to release an infrared version of the camera.
Okay.
You can't go and buy a Canon infrared SLR. You can't go and buy a Nikon infrared SLR or a Sony. Go and find one that's pre-existing, not one that you've had to mod yourself to be an IR camera. So that's really hitting a niche market to go out there and come out with an actual.
There would be DSLRs, right? There just isn't mirrorless. Are you saying there's no DSLRs either?
That's the whole point. You can't go and buy off the shelf a Canon infrared camera or a Nikon infrared camera.
Oh, okay.
It just doesn't exist. And as far as my brain remembers, it's never existed.
Yeah, right.
So to be able to, you know, so forget the fact this is the first mirrorless camera. I think it's the first camera that's commercially IR available that I can remember. I'm liable to be wrong, but stuff happens. I've got to tell you, the X-T1 is a beautiful looking camera, though.
Yeah.
It's a sexy little beast.
Yep.
Anyway.
Dave Foggan reached out on
the Fogster.
On Facebook. There's a group, I'm trying to think of the name of the group now, the Photographers Critique something or other group.
Rejects.
Sorry?
Rejects.
Maybe. It is.
REGEX. Okay. That's the website, regex.info.
Oh, not that. No, no, no. I'm talking about the group on Facebook.
Oh,
anyway, he posted on the group, and obviously we were both members of the group, and that's why I saw it. And he said, "Does anyone want to share their workflow?" Because he's in a bit of a photographic funk, and just, you know, he posted that he'd been out photographing for an hour, and everything he shot was crap.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I said, 1 hour? Glenn reckons I just did 3 weeks of that. So, and so then he posted saying, you know, would anyone like to share their workflow? And so
I didn't see that.
Well, if you're not in that group, you wouldn't have seen it.
That probably why I didn't see it. I saw the bit about him shooting and you responding. I saw that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I wrote an absolutely massive response just on my workflow in Lightroom. And obviously I don't expect it to be the kind of workflow that's going to suit everybody. Everyone's got their own approach. And I'm not going to read it because it's like
don't read it.
1,000 words. So I will post it in the show notes to this episode. If anyone's interested in reading it and they're not already a member of the Facebook group, you're more than welcome to have a look at it. You might find, you know, one or two little nuggets in there that you want to incorporate into your own workflow and, you know, that works for you, and you might just want to disregard the whole lot.
Oh, I should post my my workflow.
This will be good.
Take a lot less words, Bruce. Yeah,
I can imagine.
Well, see, now here,
shoot on iPhone, process in iPhone app, publish to Facebook. No,
this is shove SD card in computer, open up folder of photos, pull out the two or three ones you like, discard rest.
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah. I know.
I can't remember the last time I downloaded an entire shoot into my. I don't even import Lightroom because it's only 3 or 4 photos.
Yeah,
half a dozen or so at most. I just drag them across the desktop.
Yeah,
start working on them. It's like I just don't bother.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I know. This is.
I find that so odd. I really do. Like, you're the kind of guy who cannot go 24 hours without taking an image.
An image.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, I can quite happily, you know, put the camera down for a couple of months and not be, you know, overly distressed by the fact that I haven't shot. There'll be moments where I go, I really should go out and shoot something. But, you know, a couple of months can go by without me picking up the camera, and that's not uncommon. But for you, I would imagine you would be curled up on the floor in the fetal position after 24 hours if someone took all your cameras off you.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
And yet...
Well, I'd probably be worse with it if someone took my phone away.
Yeah. And yet for all that love of capturing an image,
yeah,
you have so little attachment to the stuff you shoot.
Yeah, I enjoy the shooting.
Right. So you don't need to buy compact flash cards. You
here's the thing.
Shoot without memory cards.
I love fishing, but I put all the fish back.
Right.
it might be the same kind of.
Could very well be.
The fly fishing approach to photography. Yeah. Capture them, but then give them back.
Chuck them back.
Yeah. Maybe someone can capture it another time.
Yeah, right.
And next time when you capture it, it might be bigger and even better.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah, look, I'm a forward looker, not a backward looker. I don't really look at my photos or anything like that, or, yeah.
But, yeah, okay. I mean, I know you take lots of photos of your girls.
Yeah.
Do you do family stuff ever? Because I've never seen you post an image of Kat.
Why would you want to photograph the wife?
Okay. I'm just asking.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't even really take photos of like the girls and her together. It'll be like I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Not at all. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
We are on.
Each to their own.
I'm busy keeping an eye on the cricket score whilst we're talking.
Right. So if you sound distracted, that's why.
Well, see, it's the most diabolical performance of all time, I think, happening at the moment. So it's
by
kind
who?
Of hard. By Australia, a batting
right against
and. against England in the big Ashes, the big overseas. It's like the World Series or the most important games.
Everyone on the planet understands the game except those people who live anywhere between, you know, say Argentina and Alaska.
Yeah.
The rest of the planet understands the game.
I think the French play a different version.
Oh, okay.
Play French cricket. I've been playing that at school.
Right. So just briefly for our American listeners, the Ashes is the cricket equivalent of your World Series.
Exactly. Yeah. But it only happens once every couple of
4 years.
Yeah.
2 years? Maybe 2 years.
I think it's 2 years in each country. So oh,
that's,
4 years.
That's right. Yeah, 4 years between countries. And it's played between England and Australia.
This is game four of a five-game series.
And?
It was 2-1 in games so far. And if Australia don't win this one, and they'll be the first team in 130 years to come back from the 2-1 down position.
Right.
And they've got in there to bat in the first day, and it's 14 overs in. There are six balls and over. Yeah. Okay, so Australia have got 50 runs so far, and they've lost 9 wickets.
What?
They're 9 for 50.
What?
They're 9 for 50. That's what I'm saying. It's unprecedented.
Youch.
Now, for those from overseas, once again, an average score is 400 or 500 runs. I mean, this game goes for 5 days, people.
Yes. This is a game played over 5 days.
It's not one there, 2 hours a side kind of thing.
And you can only lose 10 wickets in an innings.
Yeah. There's only 10 wickets, and they've lost 9 for nothing, effectively.
Jeez, that's shocking. Anyway, back to the podcast.
This will be not live news by the time it comes out the pop, but right now this is happening. Yeah. This is world news happening right now. You know, heads will roll because of this.
Anyway, Mark Hudson posted on the Facebook wall. An interesting little product on videoguys.com.au. Is it Nexto or Nexto? I don't know how they pronounce the name, but this is a 1 terabyte media storage device. He posted this in response to my Western Digital woes in Borneo. This is a pretty funky looking device. Basically, it's a portable memory card backup device for CF, SD, SDHC, SDXC memory cards. Will capture or basically deal with images from action cameras, so any of your GoPro type action cams, compact system cameras, HD digital SLRs, digital cinematography cameras, will copy files that are larger than 4 gigabytes, which comes into play obviously with video, not so much with stills, capable of copying 4.5 gigs per minute, which is pretty quick. Ooh, that's reasonably snappy. Has up to 90 minutes of battery use, has a 1.4-inch color LCD just so that you can look after file management duties on the device. So very similar and in some respects even better than the Western Digital device. The killer thing about it is the price. $469 Australian for 1 terabyte.
Yes, not cheap.
Not cheap. But, you know, with card reader built in, it saves you having to, you know, you don't have to carry a card reader. You're not having to Wi-Fi sync to some other device, as was the case with the Western Digital My Passport. So, yeah, interesting little device. So,
it's got a nice 1.44-inch low-resolution screen to look at, you know, almost looking at photos with. these devices were really, really common about 5 to 8 years ago kind of time frame.
Yep.
They were really popular, and you just put your I remember taking them overseas myself and
right.
pop your compact flash card into it, download straight onto it. I used to use these, and then you check, and there was before they had the screens, you could only check by how much the data had gone down. So you said, I'm putting a 16 gig card in. It's gone down about 15 gigs, so it's probably about right. Mm-hmm. So you could never actually check. And then they came out with the ones with the screens, so you could actually see your photos on there.
Yep.
So they were awesome. And then they seemed to disappear. They were sort of went completely, rather than sort of taking hold and being more popular, they kind of disappeared altogether.
I'm kind of surprised that market segment hasn't been more, you know, widely shouted from the rooftops.
Exactly. I mean, people like, why are you Western Digitals and this stuff haven't come out with a hard drive with a built-in screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a card reader. That just seems to me the most logical product.
Yeah.
A couple of terabytes, you know. How hard could it be? And it's some sort of, you know, ruggedized casing.
Yeah.
You know, portability. Yeah, you think that'd be every travelling photographer in the world would want one of those.
You would have thought.
There'd be a decent market for it. But
anyway, but thank you for the link, Mark.
Lovely.
Adam sent us a couple of different things.
We love people who share.
Yes, we do. Adam sent us a link to an article on Petapixel, which had a link to a video about how Nikon film SLRs were made in the 90s. Ads, I watched about 90 seconds and got frustrated with the music and the lack of any voiceover and just went, nah, I'm done with this.
Nah.
But
he stole my other one. You can't say the other one. He's stolen mine. Mine's going to come in order. So
you've got that in your list, have you?
And I've got something that precedes it, so he can't have that one. Sorry, Adam.
Okay, so we're taking the second one of Adam's out?
She's gone.
Right. Carl sent us...
My buddy podcast, Adam. Do what I want.
Carl sent us a couple of things. One was why I stopped using the DNG file format.
I've really got to start wearing my glasses. When I read that, I was looking at it and it says, why I stopped using the dog file format.
So for those who don't know, the DNG format is an open...
Standard digital negative graphics file format. Thank you.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. An open standard developed by Adobe. Hey?
Paragraph 2.
Thank you.
I don't want to come across smarter than I actually am. I was reading it.
So it's an open standard that Adobe created to convert your RAW files to an alternate format that would have longevity beyond the likely shelf life of the native RAW format of your camera. I think that's a little presumptuous, but anyway, that was their idea, was that there'd be this common DNG file format. Everyone could use it. They weren't going to ask for licensing rights, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, this guy has got his reasons for not using DNG anymore. And I did read it, and I've completely forgotten what the reasons were. I know he's got a heading here that says all RAW files are not created equal. Oh, that's right. It was about color interpretation. He felt that the color interpretation between the original RAW and then the DNG, which was converted, you know, from the original RAW file, were not the same. And then, there were some other things as well. I really should have refreshed my memory.
Well, anyone who's
using
DNG,
yeah,
and wants to see, what are the alternatives? What's happened? They could probably, got the link there. They can go look at the plug yourself. Yeah,
exactly. Right? The idea is that it's also a compressed version of the RAW file. So it's, in theory, it's still got all of the data available that your RAW file had, but in half of the hard disk space. Mm. So that's the theory behind it. I don't use it myself. I don't use DNG. I just leave my images in their native RAW format. And I've not had any issues with it so far. So.
I've used RAW a few times, so.
Really?
Yeah, a few times.
When? When you forgot to set the camera?
No, sometimes when you take the battery out for a little while, it sort of resets everything.
Oh, really?
No. No, occasionally if I'm doing like a landscapey kind of thing or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little bit more details in the highlights, a little bit more in the lowlights, shadows.
Right.
Yeah. Don't really know what to do with them, though. Well, I like to keep people guessing.
And the other link that Carl sent us was a link to a live panel discussion on the Sony A7 R2, which is happening on August the 12th of this year at 2 p.m. EDT. I'm not sure what that is.
That'd be Eastern Daylight Time.
Eastern Daylight Time, right. So it'd be New York time.
Yes. Because that's where B&HR, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So it's being run by B&H out of New York. So, yeah. So that link will be in the show
notes. And what are they discussing?
Well, the Sony A7 R2 is my understanding.
Yeah, but, loose topics, really.
Hey?
What's the funny loose?
Bunch of
something a bit more focused. What's the point of I'm a macro micro specialist shooter. I want to find out what this thing does and not a single person's going to talk about that. Or all I do is landscapes, and half the time spent with portraits. Or all I do is portraits, and three quarters of time spent with landscapes. I want to focus. I want an A7R chat for on portraits, on land, on all the popular subjects.
Well, how do you know that they won't
porn? Well, that could they.
How could they?
How could they? If it's just a general chat, just be waffle.
Well,
I mean, they might talk about waffles.
It's four photographers. Presumably, they each have their own style, and you know, hopefully, one or two of them have.
Now, style's a dirty word in photography, dude. You should never say anyone's got a style.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I hate that. Do you know what style implies?
No.
You're not growing as a photographer. You're doing the same stuff over and over again, and it all looks the same.
Right.
Oh, I love your style. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Did you get it, though? That's something that drives me.
That makes sense. I get that.
Style's what I used to do.
Right.
What you love is what I used to do. I hope that I'm doing something different now. Also, that I hope you'll also like. But
yeah.
I'd like to think there's some growth in us all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's good. If any, I mean, that looks like an awesome piece of kit, that camera. So it would be very nice to.
I'm so looking forward to an announcement for an A7S II.
S two.
Yeah. But there has been a nasty rumor floating around this week, which I think is absolute bollocks. I don't think there's any truth to it at all.
Truth to it at all.
Which is that the A7S II will be announced, and when it's announced, it's going to have a square body like that ugly thing that Canon announced last week that has a 4 million ISO maximum blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I hope they do.
What, you hope that it goes to that shape?
Yeah.
Why, so that no one buys it?
That's it. It'll annoy the crap out of you. You'd be like, no!
I would.
You can do this to me.
Nah, if an A7S II comes out, that's...
What's the difference between an S and an R?
Well, the R is 42 megapixels, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that is complete and utter overkill.
It's 8 less than Canon.
Yeah, the A7S is 12 megapixels.
Oh, that's right.
On a 35mm sensor. Which is what has given it such brilliant low-light capabilities. Now, presumably an A7S Mark II is going to incorporate all of the funky new tech that's in the A7R Mark II, things like the 5-axis image stabilization, the ability to capture 4K video internally without an external capture device, a couple other bits and pieces. And, you know, and they may lift the sensor up to maybe a 16-megapixel. That's my prediction. That will be an absolutely stunning camera, in my opinion.
Well, I agree.
So anyway,
16 megapixels would be fine, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Look, I've said all along, I think the 24 that I have in my 850 is overkill.
Yeah.
You know, I don't print massive images. Yeah, I probably print a 11 by 14, once every 3 years. And that's about as big as I ever print. So, anyway.
Cool.
So what do you got on your list?
No, nothing. That's it. I'm done.
Okay.
No, I'm thinking of renaming the podcast.
Oh, are you?
To the David Duchemin Hour. We talk about him so bloody much.
Well, you do.
No, he released, I do. Yeah, he released a new video and e-book series. This man is prolific.
Right.
If he's when he has time to breathe or sleep, I've got no idea, but he's prolific.
Yeah, right.
So his new, and I thought that this could be of interest to people because it's based on the vision of, you know, what if you could look over a photographer's shoulder whilst he was doing the shoot and ask him questions about why he's doing what he's doing.
Yep.
And that's a good format. It's a good learning format.
Yep. As long as you like the images that he shoots. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his photos. Yeah, and I've never been his photos are lovely and stuff, but never been a massive fan of his photos.
Okay.
But I like the way he thinks.
Right.
And I think you can still learn from listening to how someone thinks about an image, even if it's not your taste or style,
sure,
if you like. So it's called Making the Image.
Right.
And so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, nice.
In researching stuff for my India trip this week, I came across this awesome video from Canon France.
Right.
On a video and still photos from the Holi Festival in the temples I'm going into in a place called Mathura and Vrindavan
in
India. And, oh, man, I'm scared. But it was a great bit of video, and great bit of both video footage and the stills are pretty darn nice. So I thought I'd pop that down there for a minute. Let's have a bit of a gander.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lovely John Roberts,
our
our Canuck listener. He put up on his web Facebook page 7 great photography podcasts to listen to, and no, 7 photography podcasts that are worth a listen. Sorry, yeah. We didn't make the list.
No, so we obviously didn't.
We're not worth a listen.
Apparently not. Do you know the worst part about this story?
What's that?
That blog post, which appeared on digitalphotographyschool.com, was written by an Australian photographer.
Oh, I know. Doesn't he know
he didn't include us.
Bastard. But John, when he put it up on his Facebook, he made sure he listed us as being one of the people he likes to listen to. Did.
Good on you, John.
Something on the lines of, when I need a good night's sleep, I need to be bored, stupid. No, I came across an interesting patent from Olympus this week.
Oh, okay.
They've put out a patent for a new type of sensor, a two-layer sensor, and the second layer captures polarization information.
Oh, okay.
So technically, in theory, it'll be taking the data of all the stuff that could be polarized out and then software fix polarized effect.
Wow.
Connections for color, saturation, all that kind of stuff, but without losing two stops of light, because you're not putting a big black filter in the front of your lens to do it.
Nice.
So that's something to keep a little bit of an eye on as well.
That's very interesting. And because it's all computational, like it's not physically applied to the photons coming in, it's capturing everything, but then computing the polarizing, you know, potential separately, so you would have the option of going one way or the other.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is awesome.
Very cool.
Whereas once you've put a big piece of glass over the front, you're committed to that polarized
and
look.
Also, the wider and wider lenses are getting, it's also harder to get filters thin enough to not be vignetting your lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when they do make them, I was looking through my camera bag about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm noticing all these fine bits of glass in my hand. Right. A really, really, really thin, like wafer thin, like quarter of a millimeter thin bits of glass.
Okay.
But really tiny, tiny bits, like just a couple of millimeters across, hundreds upon hundreds of them. And they were in the corners of my bag, and it's like something shattered and blew smithereens all over the top of a camera bag.
Right.
Well, what the hell's happened here? What happens is one of my filters is busted.
Oh, jeez.
And the filter glass is so thin.
Wow.
So small that and it was just this fine mesh of bloody glass everywhere. It's like, ugh. So I've been vacuuming that stuff out.
Ooh.
So I've done well because that happened. I got about 5 cuts pulling that stuff out.
I was going to say, you didn't cut yourself.
Here's a new one. I stabbed myself in the thumb today with my LCD screen and my computer and cut myself.
What?
Well, I broke the glass on my computer screen.
Are you serious?
And this thin slither of glass about a millimetre wide and deep and about 5 centimetres long. So you imagine it's like almost like a needle of glass.
Yeah, straight right.
In about 3 mil into my thumb.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yowza. That was a bit of fun. Last week we were talking about the RX10.
Yes, Mark II, yeah.
Well, the lovely people at DP Review or Deep Review, which you prefer, have put up a lovely some real world samples.
Oh.
Real world samples.
From the RX10 Mark II.
From the DSC RX10 II real world samples. And they've gone and, yeah, what
you
I love
didn't
is.
Give me that link.
I do. It's below the one I was just talking about. The one below. I'm going to go back to the little bro in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've kept up their fine work of having all the information and not a decent bloody photo to be seen.
Right.
I mean, there's some pictures there, but there's not a single photograph to be seen taken with it. But there was one shot there that did interest me. I thought this would appeal to you.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of shots there at 6,400 ISO.
Right.
And looks pretty darn good.
These are the low light of the girl in the restaurant?
Girl in the restaurant or whatever it is, yeah. So pull that, Babs. So once again, for 6,400 ISO effectively a compact camera,
yep,
that's pretty darn decent.
And I can tell you what, that eats the 6,400 ISO images out of my now 6-year-old A850.
Well, there you go.
For breakfast.
And this is a pretty cool. In fact, their out of camera image actually looks better than the one.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I didn't like the processed image at all.
But I mean, they can't take photos. What would they know? Well, look at the bottom one of the girl is so badly exposed anyway. In the first, oh, this is the out of camera image.
Yeah.
Well, if you shot that properly, it might have looked okay. But everything about that shot's god awful.
Yeah.
Learn to take photos, people. Yeah. Really. I mean, surely there's somebody at this organisation that takes in this much money who can actually spend five. It doesn't take long to take a good photograph.
No.
5 minutes is all you need to take two or three nice photographs if you know what you're doing.
Yep.
You know.
It's the and same anyway, they made. It's the same with the next two images of that girl as well. Like the first of them is the one that they've tweaked, and the second one, you know, the white balance is wrong. And
yeah, it's just like they can't shoot to save themselves. They really cannot. But then I was looking at his little brother, the RX-10.
You mean the RX-100?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, the RX-10. Listen to what I'm trying to say, not what I'm actually saying, will you, Bruce?
Yeah, okay.
The RX-104.
Yes.
Because a customer of mine asked for a recommendation on a compact the other day and for travel. And I said, this is the bee's knees. Yep. This is a remarkable piece of kit as well, and I'd love to have a crack with one of these overseas.
Right.
Just of its form factor, its size, it's so small, 24 to 70, all the way through. Yeah, I think it's like 2.8 or 3.5, something all the way through the range.
Yep.
But beautiful-looking camera, sharp as a nun's tongue.
Yep.
So, yeah, it looks like a fabulous little travel camera as well. So Sony are really knocking out of the park, really, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Sony and Fuji.
And that little thing will shoot video at 24, 30, 60, and 120 frames a second.
Yeah.
Which is every second. Pretty cool.
Every second, Bruce.
Yes, every second.
Every second of the video.
Although I did see one thing about the RX-10 Mark II, and that is that the video capture is limited to 5-minute chunks.
Really?
And I saw someone having a bit of a bitch about that on Facebook, and I almost was going to reply and go, really? How often are you going to shoot 5 minutes without a cut? You know, the only people who shoot 5-minute chunks of video or longer are parents watching their kids' music recitals, right? I never shoot anything longer than about 30 seconds at a time. Because I know I'm going to edit it all together.
You're going to edit all that sucker, yeah. Unless you're filming.
And those 30-second clips end up being, they end up being 5 seconds in the finished video.
Exactly.
Because you just don't want to be sitting there watching 5 minutes of one static camera shot. Blah. Anyway, that's me.
I just need to tell you, Australia all out for 60.
Oh, you're kidding.
All out for 60.
That is appalling.
That's a fine day for sport.
Yikes. Way to bring down the tone of the podcast, Glenn.
I barrack for the West Indies, so always have done since the 70s. I can't help it. Now, I saw this awesome thing on Petapixel this week, which I just loved. For a DIYer like yourself, you have to play with these. It's the cheap light painting stick.
Okay.
And apparently you can buy these things called tube guards, which I think you put around fluorescent lights or something to stop if they ever break. But they'll come in all these different colours.
Right.
And you can do that and shine, put a light through them. And this guy's doing some great stuff, some great shots with these light tubes and just wafting them around.
Nice. I love the one of the couple above the Golden Gate Bridge. It's like he's got a lightsaber in his hand.
Yeah, I know. I like the one before with the girl like in the Tai Chi. Oh, I didn't see that before. The Tai Chi pose.
But all the yellow.
She's got a little rather. Yeah, rather unfortunate protuberance.
Hey, it's San Francisco, mate. It's San Francisco. Down,
the next one below it, with the same one, but with the white background. Very cool stuff.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, and there's one, the last one down on the beach is fabulous as well. So, nice. In fact, the beach one's probably my favorite. She's got great poses. She's got great, she's obviously a dancer. She's got a great move.
Yeah.
But that's beautiful. I love that little slash of light along the beach as well. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's really something cool. I'm definitely going to be looking into and find out. Apparently you can buy them on Amazon, which is amazing when you think about it. Yeah. So, yeah, that was cool. I love that. I thought for anyone who was going to play out with a bit of
playing light with light, painting.
It's fabulous.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, and then speaking of video editing, what a fabulous segue.
Right.
Segue's a little ride-on thing. Now, I came across this video camera called Grava. I think that's how you say it this week.
Yeah.
Or getgrava.com.
Yeah.
And basically what it is, it's a video camera that edits itself for you.
What?
So basically, you have, it's like an action cam. So you have it attached to you. Film however much you film during the course of the day. Yeah. Then at the end of the day, you set a timer saying how many minutes of video footage you want.
Yeah.
So you want 5-minute video of the day. And it somehow, using some sort of a logarithm, gets all the best bits, cuts out the rest. And it'll go for 5 minutes. And it adds music from your iTunes library to it.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it's finished for the length of time you want and music added to it as well. Bang.
Oh, man, we're all going to be out of jobs in a few years.
If you order it now,
yeah.
If you order it now, it's $150 off its go price when it comes out in well, it ships in the first, it must be like a Kickstarter original product. It comes out in the first quarter of 2016. It'll be $399 when it comes out, yeah, but you can order one now and get it for $249.
Wow.
US.
Yeah.
But it's quite remarkable. You just dial up on it the length of time you want, and it does all the work for you.
I wonder how it determines what are, quote-unquote, the most interesting bits of the day.
No, I don't know.
Anyway.
I know what my list of things would be, but yeah, maybe you can program in here. Nude girls, nude ladies, sports. I don't know. There's a range of stuff. Those light tubes by those tube guards, I just went on Amazon. Yeah. $3.58 plus shipping for like yellow.
Right.
$3.46 for blue. $2.12 for clear.
Right.
$3.36 for pink, which would probably be one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Plus, you know, a couple of bucks for shipping. So, for under $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, American. Yeah. You've got yourself a pretty cool light tool.
But what sort of light source are you going to stick inside them?
One that works.
Okay.
Does he say what he uses? And he shines flashlights into them.
Oh, okay.
Send them into light sticks by shining flashlights into them.
Right.
I use two tactical flashlights at 300 lumens power each.
Right.
Righter you go, the less opacity you'll get.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Okay.
So you've got most of the photos are only done in 3-second shoots, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Fair enough.
What else have I got? Amazing. The video's a bit crappy, I've got to say. Yeah. But the Earth being eclipsed by the moon, videoed from space, from a spacecraft a million miles away from the Earth.
Yeah, it's pretty funky. So, the lighting looks all weird, though.
Well, it does, because it's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very flat.
It is very flat. Looks like somebody just knocked it up in After Effects.
But I'll tell you, it looks a little two-dimensional, but it does look pretty darn cool.
It is.
If they are a series of photos,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, once again, man's quest for space and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, KFC Romania.
Yeah. So this was Adam's other thing.
No, it's not. So I said I had one that came first and then the Adam one, which was my one first because I found like this afternoon and stuff.
Oh,
okay. He probably put it through like last week. KFC Romania.
Yeah.
Have, you know the little tray liners?
Yeah.
Well, they're making vacation photos, tray liners.
Right.
So have these little scenes on them, yeah. And then you kind of put your like your two knuckles together, look like legs on a beach and stuff. Yeah, it looks like all these holidays, do vacation photos whilst you have any KFC.
Right.
Which I thought was just fabulous.
Excellent.
Was a company coming out with something that's really original.
That's cool.
And then KFC were Canada,
yeah,
having their big bucket of KFC as a printer.
Yes.
Photos. I think they might not be commercially viable.
No, I don't think so. Just to make
your Kentucky Chucky a bit too expensive. But kind of a cool concept again.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen this, basically it's your big 21-piece bucket-sized bucket, but I think half of the bucket is being consumed by the printer, so it's probably not a 21-piece bucket now. It's probably a 9-piece bucket. But basically the bottom half of the bucket is like a little Polaroid printer, except it's not Polaroid. It's using Bluetooth to sync to your phone. And you basically take photos on your phone while you're munching on your KFC with your mates in the backyard, and then you Bluetooth the image from your phone to the bucket, and the bucket spits out a print for you on paper, an actual physical print.
Have you eaten chicken?
Yeah, there you go. It's pretty cool.
You see, like, Sony's got Smile Shutter.
No, yeah, what's that?
It's only the camera won't take a photo until people are smiling.
Yes.
So it's got smile. This one, they actually won't print a photo unless you're holding chicken.
Oh,
is that? Chicken up your lips or something. Or licking your fingers because it's finger licking good.
Yeah.
It's not actually, it's just that it's so greasy. Yeah. You've got to get the stuff off your fingers. Then I saw this thing, this really diabolical advertising faux pas, I believe.
Right.
Of this Instagram sort of viral hit of this guy who's traveling from Africa and trying to get to Spain as a refugee, and his trials, and he's doing photos of himself like running, yeah. And it's got things like running from the future, running to the future. We're in Morocco. The dream is closer. We're not looking back. Just do it. And then there's hit in the back of a trunk, trying to cross the border, no air. My legs hurt. Wish me luck. All these Instagram photos for over a couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, there's like 40 or 50,000 people following every post and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Gets to the very end of this arduous task.
Yeah.
He's got done by the cops. He's going to detention center. All this sort of stuff. Finally, no money and no big boat. The only way to cross is a small inflatable boat at night, rowing. Really scared. All this kind of stuff. And the whole thing's ended up being an advertising campaign.
Are you kidding?
No.
For what?
For a photo exhibition.
Oh wow.
And I think they may, based on, and the photo exhibition's on travel. Now, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But if you're escaping a country as a refugee, I don't think they consider that travel.
No.
Flee, possibly travel, not so much.
Yeah.
Possibly didn't quite think that one through. But there's the power of photos. All it was is photo and a tag and a caption. Photo and a tag, a caption.
Yeah.
Garnered massive interest. And
but this is the new world. Like, advertising is morphing into, you know, these kinds of things that that just hook you in. And it needed to do that. Like, advertising has become so boring, and we are so, attuned to tuning it out, which is not what you know what I mean? Like, we've learned to just tune out.
Or we skip through the ads with our PVRs or all that sort of stuff. No one watches ads anymore.
Yeah, you skip every YouTube ad you have the choice to skip, you know?
The only real effective advertising apparently still is radio.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you're on radio, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. Do you have anything to do with adverts?
Yes, mate, I make them.
You serious?
I am serious. What did you think I did?
I don't listen to what you do. I don't have a clue what you do. No, I know what you do. Except apparently because people are fairly, they like their station. They tend to stay on their station.
Yep.
So the response to advertising on radio is higher than most other forms of advertising, which is...
See, the thing about television advertising is most people don't see it until it's late at night and they're sitting in their homes, and so they're not in a position to act upon it.
Yeah.
Where radio is much more immediate. It's about you as you're going about your day, and you tend to be in a position to respond to the advertising in a more timely manner, which means you don't forget about it straight away. On top of that, the reason radio stations remain popular is because people like that local element. You know, internet is great.
The syndicated show that's local.
Well, you generally find that your breakfast show and your drive show are usually hosted locally because you want local content and you want traffic updates and you want local news and all those sorts of things. And people are still attached to that information. And that's the one thing the internet fails at, is local stuff. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, Google is very adept at knowing where you are and feeding you stuff that is, you know, local centric, but people just still like being able to turn on the radio and hearing, you know, that the traffic on the M4 is crap because there was an accident earlier on at such and such an exit, you know, that kind of thing. And so that's what, you know, enables radio to stay relevant.
Hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, I'd be worried about my job.
Yeah, lucky you've got that niche. If you're TV advertising, you have to be concerned. Last couple of things.
Yep.
But just
before we go on, I just want to come back to this whole Instagram thing because I actually think that was very clever.
Yeah, but it isn't. It's not. You're touching on such a sensitive issue.
Oh, it is very sensitive. Absolutely.
That, you know, refugees is not something you even want to be slightly kidding about. It's no. Like, oh, let's do a race joke on race.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, you're not going to touch that, are you? Or let's do a sexism or a pedophile one. That'll work. They're probably the next levels of the campaign.
Yeah, probably. You
know? let's find all the touch points of humanity and see what we can. Let's talk about politicians and sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things you don't talk about at parties probably shouldn't be advertising. But I do a lot of people, rather than advertise these days, will give these like fashion bloggers free stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll wear it. Now, people are making all this money and all this stuff, getting all this free stuff just because they've got big Instagram followers or whatever, yeah. You know, and they're traveling the world for free just because they can show off the latest bikini in such and such place and stuff. It's sort of quite an amazing world as far as that stuff's concerned.
Yep.
The International Space Station kid. Remember the kid we talked about a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, he's put up a new photograph, a self-portrait of himself with the Whoa. Space station.
A self-portrait of himself?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because... Yeah,
yeah, do go on.
Self-portrait of himself sitting on a plane wing with the International Space and him looking up as the International Space Station flies overhead.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool.
And obviously taken on a fisheye lens.
Yeah, uber wide, like
an 8mm or a 10mm or something,
Really wide. Cool. And It's very cool. But then I thought, hang on a second, I remember your mate and mine, John Swainston.
Yeah.
He took a photograph of the International Space Station recently, which was extremely cool as well.
Really?
So I put that in there as well. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Jupiter and Venus were really close to each other.
Right.
In fact, I've seen quite a lot of photos out there of Jupiter and Venus in the same field of view in a shot.
Right.
So you can see the moons of Jupiter and Venus all in the same frame.
Wow.
And I'm talking a tight frame. But John, this is a couple of days further apart, we're a bit further apart, but John's done a photograph of Venus and Jupiter with a space station crossing through the middle of them.
So the space station is just the little white dot in the middle?
So he's frozen it as a dot rather than a line.
Yeah, right.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was good on you, John. I was impressed with that shot when I saw it. So thought we'd pull that one out as well.
Yep.
Nice. And
that's everything you had.
That's it. That's my lot. That's all I've got. There's awesome. Nothing else. We've come to the end.
Beautiful.
A few people go, yes, it's over. Is he on holidays yet? Are they going away for a few weeks, please? Yeah. Well, we've got those other 7 podcasts that are actually worth listening to.
That's right. That's right. one thing I would touch on that I didn't have in the list of stuff for today, and that is that our camera,
yes.
It's on its way home.
No way.
It's in Japan now.
It's in Japan.
And after Japan, I think it's coming to you.
Oh.
I think. I haven't consulted the list, but I'm pretty sure that you're like the next stop after Japan.
Fabulous.
It comes to Glen and then it's all over.
If it arrives before I can go to Vietnam, I'll take it to Vietnam with me.
Actually, yeah, no, I'm right. I've just opened up the list. Yeah, it's going from Tokyo to Glen Lavender. There you go. So
I'll take it always with me. I'll blame the X-ray machine, blanked out the film. Only the last frame, though, funnily.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's cool. How exciting is that?
Yeah, so it's almost at an end. And then we'll have to... Then we'll have to do something with it, get it developed and...
Yeah, we'll get it developed and we're going to scan it, get it put up online. We're going to make a blurb book out of it and then he wants to download or some sort of book.
Yeah.
And then he wants to download the book. They've got their own little copy.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Or I could just get all the scanned images and create a PDF and we just chuck the PDF up on the Shutter Zing Podcast website.
I want to download an actual book.
Oh, you want to make...
I want to have a hard physical copy book of this project.
Fair enough.
I value everyone who's been involved, even if I don't know who you are, I value your contribution to this project, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said they're looking forward to us doing it again.
There you go.
Even though they haven't seen the results of this one.
I'll be holding off.
Don't get too excited,
I'm looking forward to seeing Steve Peters' one.
Why is that?
Well, I think he stuffed up the shot somehow. He fired into his flash head or something.
Probably wasn't the only one. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, you have a good week.
I will, and you too.
Excellent. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.